Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. This is the reading of God's word. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up, from over the tabernacle the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. Otherwise, we would just hear and forget and not understand and not believe. O Father, let us depend on your Spirit to give us true understanding and faith so that we may truly obey your word. We ask that you will bless us, you will pour out your grace, that not only we hear, but that through your word that we will see what your Son has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we came to the last section, which you already saw last time anyway. But we'll finish our study of the book of Exodus today, and starting next Lord's Day, we will look at the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Today, we will summarize the main points in the book of Exodus. As we said last time, the book of Exodus is called by some people the Gospel of the Old Testament. Just like in the New Testament, we have Matthew, Luke, and John, and Mark, Gospels. So some people call Exodus the Gospel of the Old Testament. Well, what is the Gospel? Well, it means the good news. And the good news is the story of how God saves his people who are fallen in sin. And God saves his people through and by and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior and God. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. The book of Exodus is about that story, even though it's a story of Israelites coming out of Egypt and traveling towards the promised land. Ultimately, the book of Exodus is about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says in the New Testament that Moses wrote about me. And Exodus is written by Moses, which means Moses wrote about Jesus Christ. And because it is the story of Jesus Christ, it is also our story. Because we are united to Jesus Christ. So whatever happened to Christ, happened to us spiritually. So when you see Jesus Christ, what he does and what happens to him, you could claim that those things already happened to you also. And that's what Paul did. When he saw Jesus die on the cross, he says, I have been crucified with him. I died also. When he sees him resurrect from the dead, he says, I have been resurrected already with him. And when he saw Jesus living that perfect life, and Paul says, I have lived that perfect life in Jesus Christ. So the story of Jesus is story of us. And the story of Exodus is about story of Jesus, which means it's also our story. And we have been looking at 40 chapters and saw so many things that it teaches us. What happened to us spiritually? Reading it as Israel's history, the ethnic Israel's history, is not right way of understanding the God's word. And there are so many people, that's how they read. That's why whatever it says has nothing to do with them. And it's just learning about Israel. Why do we need to do that? It's not about Israel. It's about Jesus Christ. So that it's about you. See, that was my biggest complaint when I was growing up, you know, like some of your age. I say, why do I need to learn about Israelites? Because I'm Korean American. What's that got to do with me? And if it has nothing to do with me, then it wasn't a big deal to me. But Bible is clear. It tells us that it's about Jesus Christ. So that it's about me. Now I'm excited to read Old Testament and learn about Christ and learn about me. It is God's redemptive history. If we were to say that in the book of Genesis, God taught us the concept of the election through the story of Abraham, then we could say God teaches us in the book of Exodus the concept of redemption. The book of Exodus is mainly about two things, as we saw, coming out of Egypt. That took many, many chapters, and the building, the tabernacle. In the middle, we read about God giving the law to the Israelites, God making covenant with the Israelites. So you read about the Israelites receiving 10 commandments at Mount Sinai. But mainly two things, coming out of Egypt and building the tabernacle. Coming out of Egypt points to you and I coming out of sin and coming out of this world. And building the tabernacle is about Jesus Christ using all of us as a living stones and making the true tabernacle, the temple of God. So even just by that, we are able to see that it's about what Jesus Christ does. What he accomplishes. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. It shows the condition of the sinners. It shows the utter hopelessness and helplessness of the sinners. Israelites, when they were slaves to Egypt, they had no ability to save themselves. They didn't even have an army to fight the Egyptian army. I mean, we saw their condition. They're just hopeless and helpless, and they could be the slaves to Egypt forever and ever. It shows our condition before we're saved. The utter hopelessness and helplessness of sinners without Jesus Christ. They have fallen in sin and became the slaves of sin and slaves of Satan. This was our condition before salvation. Completely incapable. Completely not able to save ourselves. So we learn about the concept of total depravity, total inability. But by God's grace, they come out of Egypt. It shows our coming out of sin and Satan and this sinful world in Jesus Christ. As they come out, the very first festival because I cannot think of that other word. It was Passover. The lambs were killed so the firstborn could live. It points to Jesus Christ, who is our Passover lamb, Paul tells us. And through his death, you and I, we are saved. The crossing the Red Sea, it was the baptism into Moses, it says. It points to the Holy Spirit baptism that we received in Jesus Christ. What's the picture as they cross the Red Sea? They go into the sea, and the Egyptians follow, they go into the sea, but only Israelites, they come out of the sea at the other side. Egyptians, they don't come out. It shows your mind, our reality of how we are united to Christ in His death and His resurrection. Yes, we die with Christ, but we also come out of the water. We resurrect. But Egyptians, what's the picture there? Non-Christians, they just die. They don't come out. Because the wage of sin is death. You die forever. And the 40 years of wilderness journey, the beginning of their new life, they had to live by faith, looking forward to the promised land. They had to thoroughly depend on God and only God. But they did not. Rather than looking forward to the promised land, they were looking backwards to Egypt. They were saying, I wish I could go back to Egypt. They did not know what they're saying. All this points to our wilderness life in this world. We must live by faith, looking forward to heaven. We must thoroughly depend on God and God alone. But we see many people looking backwards. They want to go back to Egypt. They love the world so much that even when God saved them out of the world, they want to go back. They miss the world. They miss the sinful life of the world. No, we look forward to heaven. Our focus is on heaven and Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate King of that glorious place. And they receive the law at the Mount Sinai. God makes the covenant with His people. And they must obey God's law. They must be like God. We are the members of the new covenant that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. As at the Lord's Supper, He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." We must obey God, and God continues to sanctify us in Jesus Christ. God works in us that we may be more and more like Jesus Christ. And finally, the building of the tabernacle points to the building of the church. And we saw how the building of tabernacle was exactly according to what God has commanded them. God told them how they are to build the tabernacle. Every measurement, every material was already given, told them. God told them. Just like the church must do the same. As we build a true temple, true church, we need to do what God says. We have to do exactly what Bible says. And yet, so many churches, they don't want to hear what the Bible says. They don't care what the Bible says. It's all about worldly success. It's all about what works. But even if it doesn't work, we need to do what the Bible says. Because to succeed or not to succeed, that's not up to us. Unless you're talking about worldly success, that is up to us. It's up to God. And your job and my job is to do what it says, is to obey, not about being successful. And if he makes us success, then that's fine. But if he doesn't, that's also fine. But that is not the purpose. The building of the tabernacle so that God could be with his people, so that God could dwell with them. And this is the purpose of God's salvation. God and his people together forever and ever. Through sacrifices, they were worshiping God and having fellowship with God. And Jesus Christ has perfectly accomplished the true temple. He is building the true temple using his people as the living stones. We are the temple of God, and we too worship our God in Jesus Christ and always have the sweet communion of heaven with God now and forever. You and I have become the royal priesthood of God. We serve and we worship God now and forever. And that is who we are. We are his priests. God loves us and we love him. This is our glorious eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. You have to know the end. That's why if I were to train a future pastor, I will start with Revelation. You have to know the end. You have to know how things are going and ultimately for what purpose. If you don't know how it's going to end, then you don't know what you're doing. And the book of Exodus told us how it's going to end. The tabernacle, the temple, is finished and erected, and God comes and lives in that temple, and he's living with his people, and he fills that place with his glory. That's how it ends. And we will look at that at the end of this preaching as we look at the end of the book of Revelation shows us how it ends. So that everything that you do has to be related to how it is end. See, whatever that you do in your life right now, if it has nothing to do with how it is end, then you're wasting your life. All that is just useless. Because ultimately, that's the only thing that's going to be left. Everything else is going to be destroyed. All your accomplishments, all the things that you might do, the world just praises you, it will be destroyed. All the knowledge that you gain, like, I don't know, the knowledge of lawyer, knowledge of doctor, we don't need that in heaven. It's useless. So if you don't have knowledge of God, but you have all kinds of other knowledge, you're wasting your life. You're useless. You have to know how everything's going to end. That's the purpose of God, and you need to live your life according to that purpose. That's why God shows you. God wrote this Bible to show you what he is doing, what he is doing, so that we will know what we should do. the final picture of the Bible is God is with His people. And in loving relationship, God and His people, they live together forever and ever. That's the purpose. That's why Jesus came. That's why He did whatever that He did, for that purpose. And we need to do everything that we do in our lives for that purpose. Otherwise, then what's the use at the end? Oh yeah, you might benefit here and there in this world, but that's it. Even this whole world's going to be destroyed one day. We need to be wise. We need to know the truth so that we may live accordingly. As we saw, salvation is a new creation. It is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is work of God and God alone. My old self is dead. And in Jesus Christ, I began the new life. The life that belongs to heaven. The crossing of the Red Sea showed this reality. Our baptism is the sign and seal of this reality. My old self is dead. I died with Christ. And I have been resurrected to the new self. I who used to belong to Egypt is dead. As they come out of Egypt, as they cross the Red Sea, I, who used to belong to Egypt, is dead. This is what happened to us. Your old self is dead. Yourself, which was belonging to this world and sin, is dead. Now you have new life in Jesus Christ. This is what the book of Exodus showed us. And you need to believe that yourself, old self, is dead. Even as you sin, it's so clear to you that that old self is still living, but you say, no, it is dead, because the truth, the Bible tells us that it is. You need to believe. We do not live by sight, but we live by faith. And unless you believe, whatever you do will not come out of that faith. And Bible says, without faith, everything is sin. I, who used to belong to Egypt, is dead. I, who used to belong to sin and to this world, is dead. I am a new creation. I have been resurrected as a citizen of God, citizen of God's eternal kingdom. I have been recreated as God's priest who possesses the eternal life of heaven. But God's salvation is not an individual salvation. We have been saved together, and this is so important. Once they come out of Egypt, but do they just scatter all over the world and live individual lives? Or they continue to live as a people of God, one people of God? We have been saved together. Thus we must love one another. We must be mindful of each other. See, we have been saved as the sons of our God. See, individual Christianity is not biblical. See, you cannot be spoken of as someone who is apart from the whole church, because you are a part of Jesus' body. We need to be mindful of one another, carrying one another in our hearts, and truly pray for one another. The The new life has already begun in us who believe in Jesus Christ. The new calendar in the book of Exodus shows this reality. They were given new calendar because we are new creation. That your eternal life began when you are saved. Not when you were born physically, but when you are saved. And, you know, we don't know exact date or time. But that's when the new life began. The new calendar has been given. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. But what we see in the book of Exodus is a typological, meaning it is the earthly picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. The true Exodus is in Jesus Christ. The true Exodus is not just coming out of one place in this world and move to another place in this world, just like what we see in the book of Exodus. They come out of Egypt, but they go to Israel, the promised land, the land of Canaan, but it's still this world. That's not true Exodus. But it points to the true Exodus that Jesus Christ accomplishes. No, true Exodus is the Exodus from this world. An Exodus from sin. It is to come out of this world and being transferred to the other world, the eternal world, heaven, which the promised land was pointing to. Coming out of this world to heaven. Coming out of Satan to God. Coming out of sin to eternal life. All that we see in the book of Exodus. See, everything you see in the book of Exodus was pointing to what our Lord Jesus Christ has done when he came. Moses, even Moses was pointing to the true Moses, who is Jesus Christ. Moses, he was a typological mediator pointing to the true mediator, the only mediator we have between God and man, Jesus Christ. The book of Exodus is our story because it is the story of Jesus Christ. And we are united to Jesus Christ, like we said. True Exodus is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew and you see his life, that is the true Exodus. Matthew, he showed us in Matthew chapters 2 through 4, Jesus is reliving the life that Israel lived in the book of Exodus. But Jesus now lives it perfectly. The King Herod tried to kill Jesus. Thus, his earthly parents flee with him to Egypt. And after Herod dies, Jesus now comes out of Egypt, just like Israel. He comes out of Egypt. And Matthew says that this happened because, Matthew chapter 2 verse 15, this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. Now that's prophet Hosea, who is talking about Old Testament Israel, out of Egypt I call my son. But Matthew applies that to Jesus Christ. He says that ultimately, that is referring to Jesus, who himself went to Egypt and he came out of Egypt. As he comes out of Egypt after the Herod died, Matthew says this was to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus to receive baptism, just like how the Israelites were baptized into Moses as they came out, as they crossed the Red Sea. So when Jesus comes out of Egypt, first thing we read about is he's getting baptism. Then after crossing the Red Sea, they lived the wilderness life. And in Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And Israelites were tempted 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted 40 days in the wilderness. These numbers are not just, you know, happen. There's meaning in all these things. Jesus was tempted and tested, and the content of that testing is the same as the test of the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 tells us the testing of Israelites. He, God, humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and the tempter came and said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Same testing. Israelites, they failed. They did not understand that man does not live by bread alone, but they thought that man does live by bread of this world. So their whole focus was how to get rich, how to have this bread of this world, just like so many churchgoers today. Their whole focus is about the bread of this world. But Jesus, he doesn't fail. Even though he was so hungry, 40 days he fasted, and yet he does not turn that stone to bread. He says, no, man does not live by bread alone, but we live by the word of God that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus succeeds. He triumphs. But you need to understand that Jesus is reliving the very life that the Israelites lived as a nation. But Jesus lives it perfectly. And in him, we live the very same life. See, we are called to pass this test. We are called to understand that man does not live by bread, but we live by the word of God. Even if you don't have the bread of this life, even you die, you will live by the word of God. And even if you have so much of bread of this life, you do not eat the word that proceeds out of God's mouth, you will die. So you understand, we don't live by bread of this life. We live by the word of God. So we are called not to worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. And the death on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the true exodus. Go to Revelation 11, verse 8. Revelation 11, verse 8. We read about two witnesses symbolizing the church, and they die. Church dies. And verse 8 says, their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt. And he says, where also their Lord was crucified. And you and I, we know Jesus was not crucified in Egypt. And yet, mystically, meaning symbolically, figuratively, the place that Jesus died is Egypt. Now, this is very important. You see two witnesses in this chapter symbolizing the church. And they died just like their Lord Jesus Christ. See, Satan thought when he killed Jesus that it was all over. But no, through that death, Jesus was victorious. Just like we follow, we live the same very life of Jesus Christ. Church dies also. But as soon as it dies, you will read in verse 11 that the Holy Spirit will come to them and will live forever. That's what's going to happen when Jesus returns. Anyway, Jesus dies in Egypt. Now, this is very, very important. Luke chapter 9, verse 31. This is about the Mount Transfiguration. This is when Jesus became glorious, even at sight. And he's meeting with Elijah and Moses. You know the story. And Luke chapter 9, verse 31 says, who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Meaning his departure at Jerusalem, meaning his death in Jerusalem. So they were talking about Jesus' death in Jerusalem. But that his departure, that word departure, that word is translated as the departure in the original language is literally Exodus. Jesus was talking about his Exodus. And Revelation chapter 11 talks about he dies figuratively in Egypt. So his death on the cross is the ultimate Exodus. He dies and he goes to heaven. I mean, obviously, that is the ultimate Exodus. When you and I die, we also go out of this world and go to the eternal promised land. Thus Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you see your death as Exodus, coming out of Egypt and going to the promised land, why is it so bad? To die is gain. But it doesn't mean that we are to kill ourselves. No, suicide is sin. We live until God calls us, and we don't know what that time or date is. And until that day, we live our lives to show that spiritually that Exodus has already our present reality. Remember that this true Exodus has already begun, already happened spiritually in Jesus Christ. You and I have come out of sin and this world, and we have been already transferred to heaven. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred, past tense, us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about how we are sitting in the right hand of God with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. We must believe what God has done already for us. Do not judge everything by sight. Because what you see is temporary. What you don't see is eternal. You must live according to that eternal reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Now, let's end this. How does the book of Exodus end? Chapter 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The tent of meeting, meaning the tabernacle is finished, and the God came to it to reside in it, and He fills that place with His glory. It was so brightly shining that Moses could not even enter. That has been fulfilled in our lives. You are His temple. You have been cleansed with His blood, and you have been covered with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, everything that they were using in the tabernacle, they had to cleanse it by the sprinkle of blood. And tabernacle was what? It was just covering after covering. It was a picture of you. You are cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are covered with the righteousness of our God, the glory of our God. And God, after you are finished, why? Because Jesus Christ has finished His redemptive work, so that you are now finished. Not visibly, but you are the temple of God. And Holy Spirit came to you, and He resides in you, and He fills you with the glory of God. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The glory of God is filled in us. We are the temple of God. This is how the whole Bible ends. God ends the Bible by showing us the picture of heaven. And let me just read a few verses, and that will be it. I will end with these verses. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, and 7, and 11, and 23. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. He who overcomes will inherit these things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Glory of God, you see? And it was symbolized by these jewelries. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, verse 3 to 5, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and the bond servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. This is how the Bible ends. He who testifies to these things say, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord, quickly. Come, Jesus. So that all these things we believe will be visible. That's the day that our hope is set on that day. Set on Jesus Christ and His kingdom. beautiful story that God shows us. Rejoice and enjoy our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace, how you pour out your grace to your people. Thank you for saving us from this world and delivering us into your Son's precious kingdom. We are your temple. You reside in us. You are with us. You fill us with the glory of God, glory of that glorious place, our eternal home, heaven. Oh, Father, let us truly understand and believe what you have done in Jesus Christ for us. And let us wait for that day when all these things will be visible. We join John in his prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.